is part of the human experience. None of us escapes moments of self-disappointment when we make poor choices that cause consequences. Some of those are mere blunders that are easily dismissed. Others are so deep and egregious that they change the course of our lives. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll points to the story of Jonah that should encourage anyone who's feeling a measure of personal regret. In our brief study of Jonah's recovery, we discover that God stands ready to give anyone who's willing another chance. Chuck resumes our study in Jonah chapter 3.
There are so many things I love about our God. All these great characteristics of our God that make us love Him so. There is one that overwhelms me with gratitude, and it is that our God is so merciful. He is full of grace and mercy. For as often as you fail, He is there to hold you fast and to take you on. He has an infinite capacity to forgive us an infinite number of times. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So while He forgives, there may be consequences to our wrongdoing. Matter of fact, I find as I work my way through the scriptures, one person after another whom we would all say stand out as a significant character in the Bible, often being given a second chance. Get to the New Testament, we come to Peter. We've looked at him before, no reason to turn. This spokesman for the disciples who has just made his greatest statement in life, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord says to him, "Flesh and blood does not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then the Lord tells of his plans for the cross, and Peter rebukes him and says, you're not going to die. Many things will happen, but death will not be one of them. And the Lord says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Shortly thereafter, Jesus says to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will have denied me three times." And he did. That's exactly what happens. And Peter goes out and weeps bitterly at the second crowing of the cock. And ultimately, the Lord comes back and says to him, "At the shores of Galilee, I want you to feed my sheep and feed my lambs." He gives him a second chance. And then I'll name another that is a little less famous, but we've talked of him before. That would be John Mark. Or John, as he travels with Paul and Barnabas as they begin their first journey. And when things get tough and the mosquitoes bite and the diseases come and the mountains are high and the climb is arduous and the future is bleak and the enemy is real, he gets scared and he deserts. He deserts the two and he slips away. He doesn't even leave a note. And they find out in the morning that he's taken his backpack and he's run. He's failed him. The failure is so real that when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas are talking of a second journey, and Barnabas wants so much to give John a second chance, Paul will have nothing of it. A man who will prove himself unfaithful once will prove himself unfaithful again, and he won't hear of it. Barnabas takes John and sails to Cyprus. Paul chooses Silas and begins the second journey. And John lives in the backwash of that embarrassing failure until finally at the end of Paul's life, 2 Timothy, writing that final letter, Paul says to Timothy, "Bring John Mark with you He would be profitable to me for the ministry. Second chance. How great that must have sounded in the ears of John Mark. He has been given a second chance. Now, all of that has prepared us for this third chapter of Jonah. We've groaned our way through Jonah's life, and we've found ourselves longing for Jonah to get the message. And finally, in the belly of the fish, he prays and offers up his songs of praises and his sacrifices to the Lord and says, I will fulfill my vows. Jonah 2 and verse 9, my deliverance comes from the Lord alone. And when the Lord heard that, the fish spewed him out on the shoreline, and there stands Jonah ready to hear these words of mercy from the Lord. Before I go into this third chapter, I know that there are some of you who need to hear these words today because you have failed and you're embarrassed to think that would be found out by others, and realize that you certainly are found out by the Lord. He's never been absent. So you especially hear these words from Jonah chapter 3. I love the beginning of verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. There's the God of the second chance. He doesn't have his hands on his hips shaming Jonah. He doesn't have his finger pointing at him, saying, you're on probation for the next 2 years to prove the sincerity of your repentance. No, that's not a second chance. That's probation. That's not forgiveness. The Lord comes to Jonah the second time, and notice what he says to Jonah. He says, get up and go to Nineveh. That sound familiar? It's exactly what he heard as the book begins, where he was told to get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Check it for yourself, verse 2. But in that case, rather than going 500 miles east to Nineveh, he gets on the ship to travel 2,500 miles west to Tarshish. But now Jonah hears the second time, it's the same message. God's desire for Nineveh to hear it has not changed. His person to make the announcement has not changed. It's still you, Jonah. You're still my spokesman. Failure though you have been, I give you this second chance to speak for me and deliver what I will give you. And I think that's worth noting here in this second verse. Deliver the message I have given you. It wasn't Jonah's message to be proclaimed, it was God's. And every preacher, every evangelist, every missionary, every musician who delivers the message of God must remember it is God's message. His message is to be proclaimed. It is not mine. It is not ours. It's interesting what God does not do. He does not tell Jonah what's going to happen as a result of his proclamation. How gracious of God not to tell him. Because I think Jonah was thinking they are going to be destroyed. Hot dog. That's what I want. As we've talked about Jonah the racist, He despises the Ninevites. He hates what they've been doing. He wants nothing but their destruction. So when he hears the message is the same, he thinks, I'll do it. I can take that message, but God doesn't tell him what is going to happen. By the way, it's gracious of God not to tell preachers or evangelists or prophets what he's going to do. Just deliver the message, get out of the way. I'll take it from there. All I need is a voice box. You carry the message, I'll take it from there. Reminds me of Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets that we rarely read. If you read Habakkuk, you're not very far into the account before you read two questions that stand out. I have them circled in my Bible. The first question is, how long, Lord? Because Habakkuk is living in perilous times. The people around him are wicked people. They are compromising. They are unjust. They are unfair. When justice goes forth, it's twisted. It's prejudiced. How long do I put up with this kind of people? And the Lord says, you stay right where you are. You're my man. And I know what I'm doing. And Habakkuk says, tell me what you're going to do. I'm ready to hear it. And the Lord says to him, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. And Habakkuk responds, I will. Tell me. Says, is that all right? I'm bringing in the Babylonians, and they are going to wipe you folks out. And Habakkuk goes, I can't believe it. He finds out, and that's exactly what happens, which causes him in that second question to ask, why? Why would you do that? You see, in God's sovereign plan, there are mysterious things that unfold and we can't see the end to at the time they are happening. And we wrestle with them. Matter of fact, we have trouble justifying some of them. We even can't defend them. But God is at work, and he knows what he's about. He says to Jonah, you take my message and you declare it. And this is it. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Period. I'm telling you, that was a brief message. And that's Jonah's message. God could have used an angel. He didn't want to use an angel. He wanted a man. He wanted a spokesman. He chose a prophet, flawed though he had been. He chose one who had been given a second chance. And God's plan was to the point, wasn't it? I mean, look at the message there in that verse. I mean, it gives new meaning to what most young preachers need to remember. Stand up, speak up, and shut up. You tend to be reluctant about standing, getting into a message. You tend to meander around when you deliver, and it comes to the end, you don't know when to stop. Jonah, I got a period in this message. Don't hesitate to deliver it, don't complicate it, and don't elaborate. You deliver this message. Step up, no hesitation. Say it straight. No meanderings. And when you're done, get out of the way. No pleadings. I wish I had learned the value of that early on. I felt it was that so much was my responsibility. I felt that if I'm to deliver God's message, then I'm responsible for following up. So I got pretty legalistic early on, checking up on people and cornering people and forming opinions about people. You know what? I don't do that anymore. I rest very easily in my nap on Sunday afternoons. I'm not worried about you. I'm not struggling over what God's going to do with his word. The only thing that may bother me is if I garble the message, if I didn't deliver it clearly and carefully and well. But if I did, I get out of the way. You'll never know me to plead with you or follow you or beg you or in some way corner you, poking a finger on your sternum saying, were you listening? Did you stay awake and hear that? What have you done about last week's message? Most of you can't even remember last week's message for whatever reason. So let me say this and I'll get out of the way and take on my nap for this afternoon. Let me say, first of all, if you're running, you can't escape. If you've been running from God, I don't know of a bigger waste of time. You can't outrun omnipresence. He's everywhere. Psalm 139, even if I take the wings of the dawn and dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there you will be. Even there. If I go to heaven, there. If I go to the place of the grave, you're there. You can't escape God. So stop the running. Stop and listen and turn around. It's called repentance. Second, I would say, if you've blown it, seek his forgiveness. Don't wallow in the misery of your shame. Another waste of time. God sees that you've blown it. He understands that you're just like the rest of us, sinful, a pile of dust. That's the way you are. And he knows fully what you've done and why you've done it. And the good news is he's full of mercy. So if you've blown it, come to him. Come. Just exactly as you are. You don't have to clean up or dress up or act up. All you've got to do is say, here I am, fallen, broken, miserable. And I need what you can give, and that's your forgiveness. So third, if you need a second chance, it's yours for the asking. Take it. Listen to these reassuring words again. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. What good news that is. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. Bow with me, will you? Just with that mental image in mind of the vast sea that has formed the oceans around us. That's God's mercy. It's there. It's limitless, it's infinite, and the best part of all, it's available. It's there for you to take it. Embrace it, claim it. I often give people a simple prayer to follow, if that will help. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know it. You know it. Most people who know me know it. I'm lost. I've been going in the wrong direction long enough. Today, I turn around. I repent of that direction and I move to you, dear Father, and I take your Son, who paid the penalty for my sin, as my Savior. Right now, I trust him to forgive me, to give me another chance. Thank you, Father, for bringing Christ into my life. If you will pray that, we would love so much to follow up and help you along the way. But because we don't follow you around, we don't corner you, the next move is yours. You let us know. You have made this decision. Let us know how we can connect with you, and that will be our pleasure. That's why we exist, is to help people move from misery to mercy. Thank you, Lord, for speaking today in such a way that really even a child could understand. Thank you for the record that you have kept of people we've known about and read about, each of whom was a failure at some point, each of whom was used again by your mercy and grace. Thank you for telling us about that and giving us hope in the midst of this sea of mercy. Thank you for cleansing us and washing us clean through the blood of the Lord Jesus. I pray that whoever may be hearing these words and having never come to Christ will trust you now for forgiveness, hope, and eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our faithful, truthful, loyal, merciful Savior, I pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen.
As you listen to this message from Chuck Swindoll, it's possible that at this very moment you're thanking God for His mercy. Or maybe you're thinking about a son or daughter who's wandered far from God, just as Jonah did. At Insight for Living Ministries, we love sharing messages like today's because we know that God will liberate anyone who's in bondage to their own rebellion. He is, after all, the God of the second chance. For that reason, we're unapologetic in welcoming those who wish to support this cause. Gratefully, in recent months, thousands of friends stepped forward with generous gifts, and hundreds decided to step up their commitment by becoming a monthly giver. We call them monthly companions. If you're among those who gave in December, or if you're among our monthly companions, we're profoundly grateful. And we want you to be rewarded by this transparent admission from a grateful listener who's been impacted by your giving. She said, "Chuck, after hearing your messages on grace, the Spirit convicted me that I was a legalist. As a result, I took my grown adult children out to dinner and apologized to them, asked their forgiveness, and set them free to be who they were meant to be in the Lord. Thank you for your message." Well, on behalf of this listener and countless others like her, we want to thank our monthly companions and all those who give generously. As a result of your contributions, relationships have been restored as people employ God's gift of grace. To that end, we invite you to become monthly companions. A monthly companion is someone who contributes every month. And as a monthly companion, you're sending a fragrance of God's grace to people far and near who desperately need a touch of God's love. Signing up is simple when you go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
I will never forget the first time Cynthia and I drove around the bend and we saw the holy city for the very first time. It literally took our breath away.
And now you can see Jerusalem for yourself with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll on the Insight for Living Ministries Israel Tour, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
My first trip to Israel was much later in life than it should have been. I've never regretted that journey or any of those that followed. In fact, I wish it had all happened sooner.
Imagine hearing the Bible teaching you've come to respect on Insight for Living on location in Israel. Call 888-447-0444.
No pastor, no follower of Christ should ever pass up an opportunity to see and to touch and to fall in love with the very places where biblical history unfolded.
You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries, March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll describes what it means to hang tough when things aren't going as planned. Listen Friday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God of the Second Chance, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.